Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
You hear it all the time, follow your passion. Don't follow your passion, church. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are going to gain the upper hand. You are going to have victory. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your desires. We love to talk about God giving the desires of our heart, and that is true. Psalm 37:4 says that, but you better make sure that you have made Jesus the King and Lord of your heart, because out of your heart, amen, there's going to flow the most serious issues of life. And so I want to make sure that Jesus is King of my heart so that he is controlling my desires. You know, if you're hungry for steak, you're not going to go eat shrimp. You're going to eat whatever you have an appetite for. So maybe our prayer should not be for God to give us things, or maybe our prayer should not be always to deliver us. Maybe it should be, God, change my appetite. Because if I change my appetite for the things of God, then that is what I'm going to eat. And what I'm going to eat, I'm going to begin to see in my life. And finally, we talked about changing our affections. Colossians tells us to set our affections above, on things above, not on things on this earth. Affections is focus. And we ended last session right before the altar response with, most of us at some point or some place in our life have been infatuated with Jesus. But you have to move from infatuation to relationship. That I'm not just in love with the way he looks and sounds, but I love him for him, praise God. Let's get into some new material. When Paul mentions the flesh, we know that he was not talking about the skin that covers our bones. He's talking about the old us. He's talking about our sinful nature. And I love how one translation talks about it is our lower nature. It is the low. We hear about taking the high road all the time. Something better than the high road is a higher nature. Because a higher road, you can jump on and jump off. But a higher nature means that I'm literally becoming a new creation and like Jesus. Though Christians are saved, we still have the old nature around and sometimes in us. While sin's presence remains, sin's power has been broken. Let me say that again. While sin remains around us, can I just encourage you, sin's power has been broken and sin's nature is dying. Sin's presence remains, but sin's power has been broken. Have you ever been around somebody who has had all of their authority stripped from them, who has had their position taken from them? It is a sad thing to see somebody that operated here that now operates here. But can I tell you that at the beginning of time, that when Satan was an angel in heaven named Lucifer, he had a lofty place, but the Bible tells us in Isaiah and Ezekiel that he was cast down not only to earth, but to a lower place than earth. Can I tell you that as a believer, Satan is not on your level. Satan is not over you and does not have control over you. Satan, praise God, is behind us, but most importantly, he is under our feet. I need somebody to look down at the ground and remind the devil, you are under my feet. Sin's presence remains, but his power has been broken. Hear me loud and clear today, church. The Christian's new nature outshines the old nature. I am better than I used to be. You are stronger than you used to be. The old nature no longer dominates. You don't have to run to get a drink of alcohol. You don't have to run to your dealer. You don't have to run to pornography. You don't have to run to religion. You don't have to run to the occultist thing. But now we have put that nature under the blood. We have stepped up, we have stepped out, and now the new nature outshines the old nature. We are new creations. Listen, I am big on decree and declaration. You ought to hear how I talk to myself and about myself. You will never hear Brandon talking bad about Brandon. People do that for free. Unnecessarily and unwarranted. Sometimes it's warranted. When I look in the mirror, I say, man, you're looking so good. Man, you're handsome. Man, I wish you had hair, but God had to level the playing field some way. Can't have it all. Some days when I don't feel anointed, I don't say that. I say I am anointed, whether I feel it or not. I am a child of God. Praise God. I am appointed. God has called me for this time. I am not an accident. I am not here meaning and meandering my way through life, but I have a purpose. I have been born with purpose. We are a new creation. You need to declare that every day of your life. I am not the old person. And listen, can I talk to some mature Christians? How many of you have been saved and walking with Jesus for at least 10 years? Raise your hand. A lot of hands going up. Here's what I need us to understand, those of us that are a little more mature and further in our walk with the things of God. When we talk about being a new creation, not only am I a new creation compared to who I used to be before Christ, but I need to be newer today than I was in May. I need to be newer in 2024 than I was in 2023. So when I declare I'm a new creation, what I'm saying is I'm not who I was before the cross, but thanks be to God, I'm not who I was last week. I'm growing. I'm maturing. We have the Holy Spirit within us to defeat the old nature, to conquer the sinful desires that try to rear their ugly head. And because God has changed us, and because now God resides within us by the way of His Spirit, we have new desires. How many of you woke up? I don't want you to faith this talk. I want you to speak in reality. How many of you woke up and said, I can't wait to get to church today? There's a few of us that literally, I can't wait. How many of you on Wednesday, when you look at your clock and it's 5, or you look at your watch and it's 5 o'clock, or you look on your phone, you don't say, I wish we didn't have to. But how many of you are saying, I cannot wait to get to the presence of the Lord? How many of you cannot wait to clock out because you haven't had your devotional time yet on a Tuesday afternoon? How many of you have a desire, I can't wait till they release this new song in worship? And I that's a desire, our desires, isn't it amazing? Today, and I hope they don't mind me sharing this, they shared it with some of our team in the back, but as we were preparing communion today, for those of you who don't know, when you're preparing the elements like we did today, and you put all those cups in that little thing, you're not having to fill each one of them with a cup. There's a little thing that somebody invented, and I'm sure it wasn't invented in the church, it was probably invented in the bar, but it's a little thing that you can fill each individual one up without spilling any. And so when I walked in to the green room and kitchen area today, Sean and Gina were back there filling up communion and getting ready for today. And I said, man, this is awesome. And I didn't know how awesome it was. And Gina said, back in my club promoting days when I was in the clubs every weekend, they called me Gina Shots. That was my nickname. And she said, look at what the Lord has done. I used to be filling shots up out in the world, but now I'm filling shots up in the church. And it's not that kind of shots. It's a holy shot of communion. Can I talk to somebody today? God will change your desires and your appetite if you will invite His Spirit in. Can I talk to somebody who is tired of living under the flesh and under and with the lower nature? I'm talking to you. You are strong enough to be what God has called you to be. You are strong enough to do what God has called you to do. You've just got to say, God, I'm tired of living that way. I want to live for something that matters, and I want to win the battle with me, myself, and I. Somebody give God praise. Man, oh man. Our new desires are now our dominating passions that are made evident by a love for Jesus Christ and a desire to bring glory to God. The desire to bring glory to God. Here's why we want you to begin to witness and share your testimony. Because the more people hear your story, the more glory God gets. And the more glory God gets, the more that people are going to begin to win their battles that they've been facing. Because you were able to testify of the battle that you've been facing. So we have new dominating passions, evidenced by the love of Christ and the desire to bring glory to God. Our affections and our focus are now fixed on Christ and His will. Can I just encourage you? And when I mention it, it is always going to be so you can dismiss it so that we can refocus. The next 5 months in our nation are going to be ridiculous. You're going to see ridiculous reports. You're going to see people saying foolish things. You're going to see people doing foolish things. But I'm here to tell you, when you come to Living Way, we're not going to preach politics. We're going to preach the Word of God. Because politics is not going to help you win the war with yourself. Politics are not going to help you fix the battle within. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And Bishop was right on Facebook this week. It is amazing how many times in the Word of God, in the life of Christ, when social unjust and all of the things and political climate was in upheaval, how many times Jesus could have mentioned and could have dealt with those things, but instead he preached kingdom. I'm not telling you those things aren't important and don't vote. I'm saying pray and vote and make sure that you are doing what God wants you to do. But when we come into this house and when you go into your house, I need you to be focused and have your affections on kingdom and have your affections on Jesus. And do not lose a battle because you were fighting the wrong fight. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I have 12 verses, and I need to get through these verses in about 5 minutes, and we're going to do it as quick as we can. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. So the trouble, this is what Paul said. So the trouble is not with the law. Anytime you see the word law, you can sub in the word of God for that. But when he talks about the law, he's talking about the 600 laws given by God to Moses in the Old Testament. And you read about those in the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books, the Torah of the Old Testament. He said, so the trouble was not the word. Jesus did not come because the word didn't work. Jesus came because people wouldn't work the word. So it's not like the word was broken. That's why I think it's foolish when people say, oh yeah, I just read the New Testament. I don't read the... Wow, are you kidding me? There's so much truth. So many nuggets of wisdom, so much illustrative power in the pointing and prophecies of Christ. He said the trouble is not with the word or with the law, for it is spiritual and good. You know, the problem is most of us are not spiritual and we aren't good. And so when we don't lean into that every day of our lives, that is where we begin to lose the battle within. For it is spiritual and good. The trouble, now if you, how many of you have a real Bible in your hands? You don't have an app. Just raise your hand. I don't have a real Bible, so I'm not. I mean, there's about 15 of you still carry a real Bible. That's cool. If you have the app open and you can make highlights, I want you to do this. And if you don't have your real Bible, go home and I want you to do this exercise, because here's where the revelation starts. I want you to take notice of every time Paul uses a personal pronoun in this entire 12 verses. He said, the trouble's not with the law, it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with who? Me. Trouble's not with them. The trouble's not with him. The trouble's not with the word. The trouble is with me. Most of your troubles are on, well, it's the person that I'm dating. Who chose them? It's the job that I'm working. Who chose? This is a free will country. You get to marry who you want. You get to do what you want. And so you can't blame it. You got to have some discernment, praise God. He said, the trouble is with me, for I am all too human and a slave to sin. The word is the foundation we stand on. Faith is the belief, declaration, and action that we execute, and the Holy Spirit is the power to do it. Verse 15, take note of all of the pronouns. Again, verse 15, it says, where are we at? So the trouble is not with me, the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. A slave to sin is I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Does anybody, are you beginning to see the problem with Paul? It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't the Sanhedrin, wasn't the Pharisees, wasn't God, wasn't the followers of Christ or the unbelievers. Romans really exposes who the real enemy is: me, myself, and I. When we are governed by our sin and our flesh, it will always be me, myself, and I. The enemy is I, and I is our flesh. Verse 17. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me. Paul receives the revelation why he is struggling so much, and at the time losing the battle within and the battle with me, myself, and I. He said it's the sin living in me. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Paul's beginning to have a revelation. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me. It is the sin living in me that does it, is what Paul says. The revelation is beginning to have an impact on the way he thinks. See, this is what you got to realize, church. When you realize that you are not fighting a battle with them, and you're not fighting against him, but you're battling me, myself, and I, and the sin that remains, even though it doesn't reign. He says, it is the sin living in me. That revelation of the sin living in me that does it. It changes the way he thinks. When Paul starts changing the way he thinks, it will ultimately, check this out, change the way he fights. You will never fight right if you don't think right. And if you don't fight right, you'll never live the life and win like God wants you to win. Some of us are fighting without thinking. When we fight without thinking, we do ourselves a disservice because we expend a lot of unnecessary energy fighting the wrong battles or fighting them the wrong way. Or we end up injuring people or ourselves that weren't even a part. Have you ever come home mad at your boss and took it out on your family? Come on now. Have you ever left school and you're mad at your coach, mad at your principal, your teacher, and you took it out on your parents? You disrespected them and you were throwing all of that shade on them because of something that happened. That happens all the time. We injure people that aren't even a part of our fight because we're not thinking the right way. Once you get a revelation of who the enemy is, you'll think the right way, which means you will fight the right way. It is the sin living in me. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Verse 22, I love God's law with all of my heart. I love the word of God with all of my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. It's not with his body, it's with his mind. The gateway to you winning is to get the mind of Christ and to wear the helmet of salvation. Your stinking thinking is causing you to lose at life. Your stinking thinking is robbing you of peace in relationships. Your stinking thinking is causing you to go back to the vomit like the dog in the Old Testament. I want to encourage you today, set your affections. Start thinking. Take every thought captive, the Bible says. Give me 2 more minutes. He said, there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. But I want to encourage you with this, church. You know who is not a slave to sin, nor has ever been? Jesus. And as much as the devil wants to enslave us in our past and our sin, the reason in Galatians when he said, it is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. I've got something inside of me working. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you working. And because of that, guess what? The devil cannot stop you because of the Spirit in you. He cannot enslave you because you've got a Spirit in you that is moving. He said, I live, I move, I have my being. It is the God in me that won't allow me to stay down. Verse 24, listen to what he says. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And finally, the last verse for today. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Man, I'm glad Paul didn't stop at verse 24. He said, oh, what a miserable person I am. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Through these last 12 verses, he has grown and matured and received the revelation that the biggest problem with me is me. It's I, myself, 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 me. I am a slave to sin. He says, oh, what a miserable, King James says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who can save me? Then in verse 25, thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ. Stand on your feet in the room today. I want to be very clear with what I'm about to say before we open the altars. We live in a woke and progressive world. Not just a world, but a church. There is no such thing as a progressive church or a woke church. There's only one church. There's no such thing as a white Christian, a black Christian. There's just Christian. Anytime that you put a modifying adjective in front of Christian or believer or disciple, you have now changed the noun. You have modified it. Nothing modifies who we are in Christ. So this church that is calling themselves progressive, these denominations that are now changing their vote and saying we can now have homosexual priests and pastors. I'm sorry, you cannot have leadership that is actively living a lifestyle that Jesus died on the cross to forgive and destroy. We have a world and ideology that is obsessed with pronouns and how they identify. Well, let me just confirm some things. And maybe you confirm these as well. I used to identify as lost. I used to identify as a mess. I used to identify as a sinner stuck in my sin. I used to identify as a victim. I used to identify as selfish. My pronouns were me, myself, and I. But one day I met Jesus. And now I identify as found. I identify as a miracle. I still identify as a sinner, but I am saved by grace. I'm no longer a victim. I now identify as a victor. I identify as not someone who is selfish, but selfless. The only pronouns I care about, church, are he, him, as in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only pronoun I care about is they, as in the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How I identify to the world makes no sense and holds no power, but how I identify as a lost person that is now found, how I see myself in the mirror, how I see my walk with God, how I see myself when I am under attack, how I see myself when my back is up against the wall, how I see myself when I am outnumbered, how I see myself when I am in the valley, how I see myself when I am in the storm, how I see myself when everybody attacks me in other seasons, how I see myself when nobody will even talk to me, how I identify myself in those moments is going to determine whether I will ever win the battle with me, myself, and I. And I would like to tell you that I am perfect, but I am far from it. As a transparent believer, not just a pastor, I still have to captivate thoughts that I shouldn't have. I still have to repent for things I do and things I shouldn't say and things I shouldn't think and the ways I reacted. I've got to handle those things on a daily basis. You say, Pastor, you should, I think that we need leaders who are more transparent and let you know that when I lay this microphone down, I walk out of here one foot in front of the other just like you. I'm attacked just like you, but I overcome just like you. And I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. But like Paul, I have not arrived yet, but this one thing I do, I forget what is behind me and I press toward with what's in front of me. And you know how I forget what's behind me and how I press towards what's in front of me? Because of the power that is within me. Because the power that is within me. Through my last monologue here, my last statements about pronouns, my heart goes out to the people that are having such an identity crisis that they think by saying they're a different gender and pretending that there's something else that is going to fix them. They're not losing the battle with me. I love them. They're not losing the battle with God. He loves them. They're losing the battle with themselves, and the enemy is ultimately winning. Living Way Church is a church for the Christian and for the heathen. It's for the homosexual couple. It's for the transgender and those that are dealing with all sorts of things in their life. It's for the 16-year-old girl that got pregnant. It's for the 18-year-old addict. It's for the 5-time divorced woman It's for the guy who sleeps in a bed every other weekend, different bed every other weekend. This is a church for everybody. However, we're going to preach Jesus so that you could win. We don't want you struggling. I'm going to end with this. I know we're out of time, but I like watching podcasts. I think that's one of the reasons God gave me a vision, because I know that we can be a voice outside of the church that people that really need to hear it. And when we start these podcasts in that studio, we're getting ready to do that in the next few weeks. We're not just going to tackle the sugar cookie things of church. We're going to tackle transgender. We're going to tackle the difference between Muslims and Christians, and we're going to tackle all of the things in the Word of God. But I watch a lot of podcasts, and I'm not going to tell you his name. There's a podcast of someone that I follow, a secular podcast. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you his name. He was on Logan Paul's Impulsive podcast, which is one of the most popular podcasts there is. His name's George. George and Paul split up for many reasons. George really split up from Paul because Paul was telling him that he needed to tone down his Jesus talk because George was looking and searching for truth. George left and started his own podcast, which has become unbelievably successful. And he talks to Christians, and he talks to pastors, and he talks to debaters, and all of these things. And he had a gentleman that is a very godless comedian. And he sat on that couch, and he ministered to him a lot better than I'm ministering today. And what he was telling this comedian is, you need Jesus. And the comedian was mocking him on his own podcast. But he just kept loving him. And he said, and the comedian said, I just can't get with someone who you think I'm going to hell. And he put George in a bad spot. And George said, yeah, without Jesus, that's where you're going. You're ultimately going to lose everything, including eternity with Jesus. And I watched that podcast. I got frustrated. But man, George just handled it so perfectly. And George said this. He said, at the end of this, if you'll let me, he said, I'd love to pray with you. And this godless comedian, he said, you want to pray with me? He said, when we're done, if you'll let me, he said, well, let's pray right now. That's what the comedian said. They got down on their knees. The comedian said, you're not going to face the camera? And George said, no, this is not between me and the camera and everybody watching. He said, this is a prayer with us and God. But I love what George said. George said, but what we're not going to do is you're not going to mock this prayer. We're going to pray. You're not going to mock it. And we're going to pray. He said, I won't mock. And he said, should we hold hands? He said, no. He said, and they put their hands on each other's shoulders. And he prayed for this guy who's losing the battle within so hard. It gave me so much joy. And it gave me so much hope. But then it just convicted me as a pastor so hard. Because I've been trying to win my battle so hard. That when people are disrespectful, when people are turned off, and really they're not even disrespectful to God because they don't know God. I feel like he's disrespected because I know him. So I say that to say this, church, I need you to win the battle with you. And you need me to win the battle with me. So that when we leave this building, we leave so filled up that when God puts us in front of the godless, and God puts us in front of the atheists, and God puts us in front of those that are involved in false religion, and God puts us in front of the sexually confused, and God puts us up in front of the perverted, and all of these people that, like George, we can love them where they're at, and we can help them win the battle they're facing because we've won the battle we're facing. And that's what Paul is doing. Paul is telling Rome, I'm fighting this battle and I'm winning this battle because of Christ, not me. I want to open up this altar. I'm way out of time. But if you are ready to put a stamp on the season of your life of the unbelievable struggle that you've been battling, God bless. Amen. Let's celebrate these as they come. See, and y'all thought I was being a smart aleck when I was talking about staying to the end of service. No, this is why I want people to stay to the end of service. Because when I see people walking out, Even though I see it as disrespectful, when I see people walking out early, 30 minutes early, I'm thinking they're going to lose this week. This could have been the moment where everything shifted in their lives. I see fathers bringing their children to the altar, standing with their spouses. I see new members. I see leaders in this altar. I'm not telling you it's always going to be easy, but I'm going to tell you it's always going to be possible. Praise God. And if you fall down, you keep getting back up. And like Paul, you keep praying. And you remember that it's not I, it is Jesus, praise God. His power. You and I will struggle every day of our life. But when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit resides and sets up shop within us, it is going to change things. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands and praying on those in this altar. See teenagers coming to the altar. God bless you. God bless you. Fathers and sons coming to the altar. God bless you. Mothers and daughters, hands clasped together in the altar. God bless you. So faces I've never seen before. God bless you. Destiny, I love you. I love you. I love you. I've been praying for you this week. Destiny came and met me in the altar and we talked. And I got to be honest with you. I preached this entire message. I actually pulled out the notes and preached her this entire message. And it took me 35 minutes with y'all. It took me about 4 minutes with her right here last Sunday. I said, I didn't get to this because she told me what she was praying for. I said, well, let me tell you, take you to next week. Can I encourage you today that God, not only, and it's so cliche, God wants you to win, but he doesn't want you to win so that you can put another check in the record books. He wants you to win so that you don't go back to who you used to be and so that you can press forward to who he's called you to be. If you're in this altar, lift both hands. If they're not already lifted, God is going to meet you right here. Pastors are laying hands on your head. They're touching and agreeing. They're anointing you right now. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in and around this altar in you as believers. If you're in this house today and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. You are lost for eternity without a Savior. And there's only one Savior that can do it, Jesus. If that's you, we'd love for you to join us in this altar. We're not going to embarrass you. That is something we never want to do. But we want to give you an opportunity. This can be the starting of the greatest season of your life when you make Jesus Savior and Lord of your life. If you'd like to be baptized in water, now is the time. Don't wait for a special moment. This is the special moment. Our baptismal pool is always ready. We got a heater on up there, got everything you need. You can jump in with your clothes on. You can change into a robe. We just want you to be baptized. If you've never spoken in tongues and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is the evidence of speaking in tongues. But the purpose of speaking in tongues is God's going to use that spirit to help you discern. It's going to bring conviction into your life that helps shape your walk. It's going to guide you and teach you and lead you. It's going to be power in your life. As this worship team leads us, we're going to be done in just a moment. Hang with us for just a moment. After this, we got Living Way launch for an hour. It's going to be a great, great afternoon here. But right now, people are fighting, but people are beginning to change, and the tide is shifting in your favor. You're not just fighting, but now you're winning the battle within because of Jesus. Let's pray.